She's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I say good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your host, David Blessingame.
Good morning.
Sammy Pickard.
Howdy, everybody.
JP, a.k.a. Snuggles.
What up?
The Snuggle Monster. And hey, me, I'm Sybil.
What up?
We're here every Saturday morning taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, and your AutoFlex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And as always, you can and should call AutoFlex. They're open today at both locations. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. If you're out of the area, as always, AutoFlex.com. If you're telephonically challenged.
I hear a little allergy voice going on.
Little allergy voice going on this morning, so I'm going to get a little more FM with a voice.
Hey, there you go.
There you go.
105 through the fan.
Nice.
That's how you should talk the rest of the show.
Mate, I got no choice.
Coming up at 9:15, we're going to talk about whether or not you should wrap your keys in foil. And I can't wait to get into this because it's something I've never heard of or even pondered in my entire life. But we'll tell you maybe why you should or shouldn't.
It's close to wrapping your head in foil, I think. I'm just saying.
But first, let's get into some new auto safety provisions.
Yeah, you know, the House has just passed a safety bill, a highway bill, a big highway bill, $325 billion transportation bill. And that bill will do a lot of things for safety. Now, the Senate has passed their version, and the House has now passed their version. So what we're seeing is now they got to get together, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to require, the House bill would require car companies, rental car companies, not to rent a car that has been recalled. Now, that sounds, golly, that's really, really good. That's safe, right?
Unless it's been repaired, right?
Unless it's been repaired. But all recalls aren't safety recalls.
Uh-huh.
Some of them have to do with the door handle.
Like cosmetic things.
Exactly. Mm. So it's sort of all-encompassing, and it maybe didn't need to be because it deals with all recalls rather than just safety recalls. Obviously, everyone would want to make sure that every safety recall was done before they rented a car. The other thing it does is it excludes auto dealers from that same obligation. So, but the auto dealers in general take care of that anyway, and they already don't sell cars that are on a recall list voluntarily.
Right.
Also, the rental car companies in 2012 said they wouldn't rent a car that was on a recall list. So this is sort of like window dressing, sort of.
So this has already passed, or
no? It's passed the House.
Okay.
And now the House and the Senate have to get together and match the two bills up. And there's a couple of really big differences. The Senate version triples the maximum delayed recall fine to $105 million from the current $35 million. The House version didn't address that, so you can look for some compromise there. Interestingly enough, Anthony Fox, who's the Transportation Secretary, said a $35 million fine is a rounding error. That's not really a fine to an automotive company. So the House bill was really pushed by Michael Burgess from Texas, who is the chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee. And it also does things like increases the obligation of the manufacturer to fix recalls from 10 to 15 years, things like that. So it's pretty safety oriented. The other thing it does is it does a lot of work on fixing the highways.
Good. Well, that ought to help.
Yeah, we need that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm most interested in.
The highways. Mm-hmm. And this is a nationwide thing, right? Not just Texas.
No, this is the United States.
Of America. So I really like this headline because everybody wants to think that they're driving the biggest and the baddest and the best cars. But this asks, which car model is the biggest loser of the past 100 years?
Yeah, and this was an interesting article to me because the cars they picked out, I sort of agree with and sort of didn't. And they left out a bunch of really nice jewels. The worst car that they listed is the 2001 through 2005 Kia Rio.
Oh, sorry if you're driving a Kia Rio.
Well, the old ones, the 1 through the 5, that was before Kia and Hyundai actually got together. And let me tell you, those cars were nothing but tin and plastic. And it was really thin tin. It was like Coke can thick, you know?
Look at it hard and it'll get a dent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You shut the deck lid hard and you put a dent in it. Mm-hmm. So.
Your handprint.
The 2005 Kia Rio was the first one on the list. And I would really have to agree with that. I mean, if you looked at one right now on the open market and it had 50,000 miles on it, you would be hard-pressed to get more than $1,000 for it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So the next one they mentioned, and this was really interesting to me, was the Mazda CX-7. And I didn't really know about this because we're not a Mazda dealer, and we don't lease a lot of Mazda CX-7s, but these cars have a lot of problems with the engines, and they've had problems with the engines since day one. Turbochargers, variable valve timing problems, engine sludge buildup, and timing chains that stretch out and shell your engine. So they're sort of known for losing engines, which makes these cars worth a whole lot less.
Yeah,
me.
They referred to the engine as a 600-pound lump located between the front fender and the dashboard.
That's not exactly complimentary.
Not really.
A lump.
And that's an SUV, the Mazda CX-7?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. A smaller crossover type.
It's sort
SUV.
Of a CUV.
Okay.
A compact. Utility vehicle.
And then they built the CX-9, so I'm hoping that that has a different engine than the CX-7. I did lease a few of those, and when I was leasing them, when they first came out, I was very excited about the car. I liked it so much, I was thinking about getting one for myself. Whoops.
Good thing you didn't.
I know.
Are they still on the market? Do they still make those, the CX-7?
They've changed, and they've got a CX-5, which I like better.
Okay.
Or the MX-5, I think it is. It's a small, even smaller little SUV.
So anyway.
Finally, the Land Rover Freelander, or I called it the Land Rover Escape, you know, because it was so tiny. It was the shape and size of a Ford Escape.
Uh-huh.
That one was a real loser. It should be named the Land Rover Sharecropper, by the way. The wannabe luxury SUV strips away assets over time. So the engine is junk. The transmission is junk. The interior ages worse than a Hollywood starlet trying the nip and tuck. It's one of the rare vehicles that's incapable of seeing a 200,000 mile mark on the engine without spending about 10 grand to keep it going.
You know, here's the other thing. Land Rover in general, the people that have them love them. They're terribly expensive. They're fabulous to drive. They break a lot,
mm-hmm.
just in general. So, but here's the other thing. And so now the Autoflex Leasing fan texters are texting in. How about the late 80s and early 90s Hyundai Excel, worst car ever? That sounds like experience speaking.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
And it was not a good-looking car, so.
No.
Well, that's true, but Hyundai has come so far since then, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really happy for them. They build a better car now.
Much, much better. And well, Hyundai and Kia are now the same company, and between them, they have good cars now. Any idea, Autoflex Leasing Fantext, any idea why Chrysler refuses to recall or to address Wrangler's death wobble? Okay, for those of you all who don't know what that is when the front tires begin to wobble and they form sort of a resonance and it gets worse and worse. It's pretty limited in the number of cases that I've heard, but Fiat Chrysler is already paying a gigantic fine to the NHTSA for not handling safety recalls in a timely manner. So if that is out there, I'm pretty sure they're going to be handling that.
I didn't know Wrangler had a death wobble.
Yeah.
I've never noticed it. How fast do you have to be going?
I think it's lower speeds. Actually, I don't think it's really fast. The lower speeds. But it's very dangerous.
Let
us
know if anybody's familiar with the Jeep Wrangler death wobble. I'd like to know. It sounds like a dance, really.
Autoflex Leasing. Autoflex Leasing fan text.
Yeah.
Everything that Kia made was junk until Ford bailed them out. If you've noticed, the Kia emblem resembles the Ford emblem. That's why it's a better made car now. I agree.
Ooh, I need to do a side by side and look at those.
Yeah.
The Kia emblem. I can't recall what it looks like.
Okay, so a couple of cars that weren't on this list. Number one, the Daewoo.
Oh, I remember that.
Do you?
You've got a really great memory.
Yes. Because they also made like speakers or television sets or something.
Yes. And they were better at that. How about Daihatsu?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I
there was the Daihatsu.
They had their 15 minutes.
One of the worst, the Daewoo Lanos was the worst car ever made in history. That's not a Flex Leasing Fantex. Again, experience speaking. One of the worst domestic cars ever made, the Cadillac Catera. It was the Pininfarina body. It was the little convertible that Cadillac made in the 80s. Uh-huh. It was an absolutely terrible car. And then finally, I mean, and here it is, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, don't forget the Yugo.
Aww.
The Yugo, which was made in the Slavic countries, was one of the worst cars ever, ever manufactured. It rivals the West or the East German car that was made in the 60s and 70s. Just a terrible, terrible car. They said that the Yugo had rear window heaters, defrosters, so you could keep your hands warm while you were pushing the car.
Now, why has nobody suggested the Ford Pinto? That's always on the list.
No, the Pinto was a staple for years and years until the fiery thing from the back end, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the car overall, except for the exploding gas tank, it wasn't a problem car.
Other than that.
Well, I mean, if you didn't get into an accident, everything was good, right?
Right.
You just had to be rear-ended by some fool that wasn't paying. They weren't texting back then. What were they doing?
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Is it possible to switch from my current leasing company to Autoflex? Yes, it is. Call me at the office. I'll tell you how you can do it. The question is whether it's worth doing.
817 or 972-234-1234. Give them a call.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, Wrangler wobble is due to the straight front axle and altered suspension geometry on lifted Jeeps.
Ah.
Aha. All right, so if it's not a manufacturer-borne problem, there won't be a recall on it if they are lifted.
And on that same note, another fan texter says, I had death wobble on my Jeep, but it wouldn't happen unless I was going over 60 miles per hour.
Aha, there you go.
I had a 1963 International Scout, and if I tried to take it on the highway or go over like 40 miles an hour, I would have death wobble.
Really? That's pretty bad.
Yeah, but it was probably because it was an old car.
Yeah.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Texture, the Brat. Okay, so.
What was wrong with that Brat? I liked it.
I liked the Brat.
The seats in the face backwards.
And you know why the seats were in the back, right?
Yes, because they had to have a certain number of seats in order to import it or something.
Exactly. It's considered a passenger vehicle if it had four seats. Oh. If it only has the front seat, like in the pickup that it was, then it's a truck, and there was a 25% tariff on it. So
yeah,
they stuck those two plastic seats back there, and it was a passenger vehicle.
Aha! And one more says the 1992 Cadillac DeVille.
Cadillac had some problems back then.
Hmm.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, our guys have a great sense of humor. The Pinto had explosive sales.
I get it.
And back then, they were Rubik's cubing and driving. Actually, the Rubik's cube came out in the 80s. Because I wore that to a costume party, so 80s themed costume party.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053 or send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. They're coming in fast and furious now. You can also call Autoflex. They're open, and today's a good day to do your shopping either on the phone or online. What are those numbers, David?
That's right. All you need to do is call either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. Autoflex.com. If you're maybe wanting to build your next car and you need a facility to do that, you can build your next car at Autoflex.com just like the factory does. It understands all the build conflicts and all that neat stuff. Then once you build it, you can send it to us and we'll be glad to fill the order. Here's the other thing. You can see all our great pre-owned cars right there at Autoflex.com.
Can you see the Save Money Monday cars?
You can, in fact. They are posted as of last night. So those cars will be on sale on Monday. They are pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, vans, that kind of thing. We're going to send them to auction on Tuesday. Really, really, they're going. So we reduce them and we offer them to the public one day, Save Money Mondays, at Autoflex.com under the manager specials.
There you go. So one of our Autoflex Leasing fan texters says, hey, repeat customer here. Big shout out to JT and Arlene in Arlington for helping get me into an Armada.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Awesome. We also have a number of people with other suggestions of the worst cars ever made. Now, one, and I don't think I agree with this because I remember them actually, Chevrolet Corvair, really wasn't a lot wrong with that car except Ralph Nader hated it. Datsun B210, the VW Thing. Now, the VW Thing was
so cool.
cool.
It was
cool
a jungle
factor.
Car. They built them in Mexico, and they were a jungle car. I agree with this one. Cadillac Cimarron. Right. That was, and then he goes, must I go on? Cadillac Cimarron was actually a Chevrolet Nova that was rebadged with some different body panels, and they called it a Cadillac. And I was working for a local Cadillac dealer at the time that car came out, and they flew everyone up to drive the car, and it was a big presentation to sell the salesman on the idea that it was a great car. Guess what? Wasn't a great car.
Was that an entry-level Cadillac at the time?
It was, and that's the other thing. Very, very few of these manufacturers have been able to build an entry-level car and not tarnish their big cars.
Right. When are they going to get it?
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to definitely put in there. If you're luxury, stay there. There is no entry-level.
Right.
You know, once you're there, you're there. You jump in and you got to pay $50,000 or $60,000 or whatever. Don't try to build a $30,000, you know,
luxury vehicle.
You know, one of the other things I think worth mentioning is that now cars are so much better than they used to be. So when we look back in retrospect, some of these cars seem terrible, but they weren't really that bad at the time That's compared true. To the other cars.
Right.
Because there was a lot of bad cars out there. If you go to the late 70s and the early 80s, there were some terrible cars.
You don't see any Pacers rolling around on the highway anymore, do you?
AMC Pacer.
Remember that one?
Wasn't that one the one that was sort of like a terrarium? Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
All the glass around the back. Okay.
Okay.
So all of the VW Scirocco, piece of junk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, note. Okay, I give up. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, Corvairs leaked like the Exxon Valdez.
Oh, no. What about somebody else asks about the 1983 Mercury Lynx being on the list of worst cars of all time?
Yeah, I would have to agree.
Ooh, a Chrysler LeBaron is also a good one. Way to go, Fantexter.
Yep, absolutely. Anything Isuzu made was the worst car ever.
Aww.
Got a lot of fans out there.
As a kid, I wanted an Isuzu. Was it a Roper? Isuzu Roper? I wanted one so bad. It was kind of like a Jeep, but it was like the knockoff version.
Not the Trooper, not the Isuzu.
Rodeo. The Rodeo.
Oh, the Rodeo.
Isuzu Rodeo. That's what it was.
That was the one that they had an upscale Rodeo, and they had a base Rodeo. And the base Rodeo, the only difference from the outside was the upscale, they painted the lower car a different color.
Oh.
So it was like dark gray with a silver lower, and the base car would all be all dark gray. So the dealers would paint every car they had with a lower color down at the bottom.
Smart.
So you couldn't tell whether it was a base car or it was an upgrade. Yeah, I'm telling you.
And last one here, a 2002 Ford Explorer should be on the list, according to this guy.
I really thought that was a decent car in 2002.
Yeah.
I did. So, Autoflex Leasing Fantex, my grandma had a Rambler that featured push-button transmission. There were a lot of cars with push-button transmissions over the years. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, the rollover machine Explorers should be on the list.
Well, that was the tires.
It was the tires. Firestone built a tire that would go 75,000 miles, and so it would never wear out, basically, while you had the car. The problem was that after 45 or 50,000 miles, the tire became brittle. So when you were driving at highway speeds, the tire would heat up, and then it would explode and cause the car to roll. But they were not any worse about rolling than any other car, except for those tires, and that was really why they rolled.
Gotcha.
Okay, for you battery car fans out there, there is amazing news out of Cambridge. They have had a breakthrough in lithium air batteries, and there's probably a lot of people out there that know a lot more about lithium air batteries than me, but they have now built a lithium air battery with the potential of 10 times more energy holding capacity than today's power packs, and so far they can recycle it 2,000 times. If you break that down, that's like having about 5.5 years of use out of this battery with recharges. And here's the other thing: there's a lot of problems with it. They've still got to, it has to have pure oxygen to do what it does. It does develop some deposits and things that slow it down after a while. But the good news is, it is actually in advance. Those guys in Cambridge are pretty smart, by golly.
That's why they're there.
Yep.
All right.
This was online last week, and I had to just steal the story off. Why you should wrap your keys in aluminum foil. Now, the first thing I thought of was the guy standing on the corner, homeless, that's got aluminum foil wrapped around his head.
That's not even nice, though.
I thought of
the movie with the conspiracy theory movie. where he had his whole apartment lined in foil.
Right. And that would cure the problem, by the way, if you did that.
Oh.
So here's the issue. If you've got a keyless entry on your car, like in some cars, you can just walk up and the car will unlock, right?
Yeah.
And some cars, you have to actually push the button, but you can push a button on the inside and you don't. Some cars will activate from a block away.
Weird.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Thieves can set in a parking lot, go to North Park, and watch people leave, and they have decoders on laptop computers that pick up the key codes. And they can decode that, break it down to a workable code, and send the code to the car and open the car, and in some cases, actually start the car and drive away.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So the suggestion from the author was that you maybe take a little cardboard box and line it with foil, and then every night when you get home, throw your keys in the cardboard box.
Especially, or put them in the freezer.
Or put them in the freezer.
Or the microwave.
Okay, we're back to the guy with his head wrapped in foil. I'm just saying.
So, would it damage it if you put them in the freezer?
Well, probably. I would definitely.
I wouldn't freeze mine.
What about the refrigerator? Because I was looking at
list.
Okay, it would work. Where if you have trouble getting out of bed to work out in the morning, they said put your keys in your refrigerator, and then when you go to get your meals for the day, you have to get your keys for the day, and it's all together. But I thought, you can't keep your keys in the fridge, can you?
You can do the same thing by putting your alarm clock in another room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I have to do.
Yeah. I do too. So, anyway, your keys, your fobs, have a very specific code that matches with your car. And there are literally millions and millions of codes. So you would think these guys couldn't, you know, decode all of that since there's so many million choices. But guess what? They've got computer programs with algorithms that actually do just that. So for a suggestion, make sure your car is locked and make sure it's parked in an area that people can see it. So if somebody comes up right after you and jumps in it, at least someone can see it. And at night, if you can park your car in the garage, always park your car in a garage. Always, always, always.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got one of those older wireless keys, you could be up to half a block away parking maybe in front of your house. And your key fob would still be talking to your car.
That's the so current scary. Models, you have to be like within a foot.
Yeah, yeah.
To read, right?
A yeah, foot and range. that's what they've done on the new model cars. You've got to be a foot away, or the code doesn't work, and it makes it impossible to read somewhere else.
I want to find out what year they changed that and made it better, and that'll be a reason for everybody to come get a newer car.
Yeah,
exactly.
But then the people that want to buy the used car are they need to reprogram those.
While we're talking keys, if you were at Albertsons in McKinney last night off 75 in El Dorado, you're welcome. I found your keys in the parking lot and I turned them in. And I was in a hurry and I was like, you know what? This person is going to be out of their keys. And I ran back in and turned them into the manager.
That was very nice.
Thanks. See, I'm not such a bad person after all.
Autoflex. So there. Autoflex Leasing Fantex. Can David help me wake up in a new Bugatti? Okay, so if you've got a new Bugatti, you're not sleeping in it. I'm just saying.
Right.
But we can actually lease you a new one, yes.
Sometimes you do wake up in a new Bugatti, though.
Okay.
Your Ace Hood.
Ah. You know, that's something we've never talked about on the show, I don't think. We lease exotic vehicles. We do a lot of Teslas. We do Ferraris. We do Lamborghinis. In fact, we're going to do a story later on the best performance cars of 2016, and Lamborghini was not listed. And even though it's a supercar, it's an amazing performance car.
All right. So, David, we have an Autoflex Leasing fan texter that would like our recommendation on a small SUV with the best price and best gas mileage.
Okay. Well, so the first thing is true cost. True cost is the difference in what you get it for and what you sell it for, or if it's a lease, what you pay every month for how long. So I would start with anything that Toyota or Honda builds, just because the real cost of that car to you will be less because the resale is so high.
So I would be a big fan. If you're talking about a small SUV, a RAV4 or maybe the Honda CR-V. And if you now best price, if you can jump from the Honda CR-V has the fancier version, which is the Acura RDX. The body styles are like exact. But for pricing, I would stick to maybe that Honda or the Toyota. I also love the Nissan Rogue. The newer body style is a little bit larger. And I think all three of those, they will lease well if you were interested in that, which means also if you purchase them, they've got a pretty decent resale value long term. And I believe that they'll all do 200,000-300,000 miles for you if you maintain them properly.
Well, and that's the thing.
Those long-term ownership.
Those cars will last forever. They're pretty well bulletproof. So that would
take care of them.
That would be my top recommendation. And as Tammy said, I agree totally on those cars.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
AutoFlex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil, we're your hosts. Hello. You can give us a call, 877-881-1053, or you can send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And as always, if you're looking for a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, you could call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. As always, AutoFlex.com on the World Wide Web, where you can get a free Black Book appraisal on your trade-in, a real Black Book appraisal, not fill this in and we'll call you. You just fill in all the data, and it'll send you back an appraisal on your car. Now, it won't be an exact dollar figure. It'll be a range, but it'll give you a darn good idea of what your car's worth.
Which is what we always want anyway. Just give me a ballpark.
Oh, yeah.
We can get down to the nuts and bolts whenever I see you in person.
Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's a ballpark.
I gotcha. We've got so many fan texters chiming in with their worst vehicles of all time. Should we get into a couple more of these?
Yeah, we can do that.
Somebody says the Dodge Dynasty was nasty.
Yes.
It's actually in the name. Dodge Dynasty.
Oh.
That was clever.
Mustang 2, case closed. I don't remember a Mustang 2. Mm-hmm. Was it in the 80s or?
Yeah, that's one of those late 70s, early 80s Mustangs. And I was selling those cars at that time. Those are not great cars.
So it should go on the list.
Yeah, it should go on the list.
Worst cars of all time. This guy says, what about the car that was called an Opel?
Well, that actually is a European car, and GM badged that car for the United States, and it was called an Opel GT. It was in the early 70s, and it looked like a baby Corvette at the time. And I thought, I mean, from an outside standpoint, I don't know how well they ran, but they looked great.
Yeah, that sounds cool. That's what you
That
get.
Is the most important thing in life, is looking great.
Exactly. Yeah, doesn't matter who you are.
One person says, can you effusively, where did it go?
There it is.
Can you
effusively compliment the Toyota Land Cruiser vehicle? Toyota doesn't even have to advertise them, and they sell all they make.
That's
yes.
True.
It's true. It's
but
a great.
They also don't overbuild.
No.
Okay. They've limited the supply, so that makes the demand match, keeps the price high, and they have great resale value. Can I just effusively compliment it? I think it drives like a big, it's heavy.
Yes.
You would feel safe in it, I believe, because it's so large and heavy. I couldn't speak about its four-wheel drive performance or off-road performance. I think it's a family, around-town, safe, all-wheel drive vehicle if you had to get out in the snow, rain, etc.
It's sort of like their Hilux, though, which they sell everywhere else in the world, and it actually does four-wheel really well.
It does?
Yeah.
I had a Toyota Land Cruiser, and when I got it, it was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old at the time. I kept it for 2 years and resold it. And you're right, it does retain its value, because by that time it was 10 years old and somebody still wanted it and we got good money for it. And those things hold up really well.
That's a car you could practically drive for free.
Yeah, and okay. It was very heavy. You're right.
There's one car out there right now that is the closest to driving for free that I have ever seen in my time in the business, and that's the FJ Cruiser.
I love those.
If you got a 2012 FJ Cruiser, it is worth 90% of what you paid for it in 2015.
Isn't that
it's
nuts?
Completely yes. Crazy. And they quit making them.
Yeah.
Last year, they
That's
don't make
part
them
of
anymore.
Why they're worth so much more.
But they are, well, they just work. I mean, they're sort of cool and they're sort of funky. And
yeah.
But that one vehicle has the highest resale of any vehicle I've ever seen.
I love those cars. They're so cute. Although I did test drive one at one time and there's a blind spot.
You can't see out
Major
of them.
Blind mm-hmm. spots.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you know what? Just get those around view cameras installed if you're really concerned about it. One of the guys at work has one. He just loves his. And I remember leasing one to a fellow that used to do the radio show with us, Dave. He leased it and then at the end bought it. And then I wound up buying it back from him. And he had equity
Uh-huh.
You know, he was just like, how does this work? I said, you pick the right car, Dave. That's yep. how it works.
There you go.
And it is sort of a gamble. Because you never know.
It's always a gamble. Yeah. You don't know which car is going to be this. So whenever you are choosing a vehicle, remember a couple things. You get what you pay for.
Right.
So if it's super cheap, your expectations should be low.
And that's with everything.
Exactly.
Not just vehicles.
Exactly.
Right.
But I can speak mostly about the vehicles. I mean, you know, you're getting what you pay for.
Other
you spend
halves.
A little more.
I'm just saying.
You spend a little more money to get a better quality, and then your expectations should be higher. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you really want some good advice on the best vehicles, then you should call AutoFlex, because we lease all makes and models. And since we're leasing them, and those residual values are based on the future value, and somebody else has done all the studies to find out how these cars retain value, that's your sign. If it leases well, it's a good car typically.
Here's the other thing. If the extended warranty is extremely expensive,
it's not
a great car.
Well, that's not 100% true. Because
if it's a really expensive
a high line car, extended service agreement will be a lot more expensive because the parts are more expensive.
Right.
You don't start with a $90,000 car and think that a replacement part doesn't cost, you know, a ridiculous amount of money. What did you say the light housing on your car when the customer backed into your Lexus, what did it cost to replace that headlight?
Like, the headlight itself was $1,200. That's what I said. That's completely crazy.
And that's why you're talking about a $75,000 car, just because the one headlight is $1,200.
Yeah. By the way, guys, in case you ever wonder what they do and how they do it, they put very expensive pieces on your car on the ends, because that's usually what gets wrecked. I'm just saying. That's how they do it.
Genius.
Always about the money.
What would you guys recommend? This is another AutoFlex leasing fan text. A Fiat 500 Turbo or an Abarth?
No.
I've never even heard of one of those.
He will not recommend either because it's a Fiat.
What is an Abarth?
It's just a trim level of the car.
It's the upper trim level, the sport version, akin to putting lipstick on a pig.
Now, I think these are cute cars. Are you saying they're not good cars because the quality is
poor? I'm saying the quality is poor. Yeah, they don't. If you read all the rankings and the quality reports, they don't report well. They're very inexpensive cars, but they don't do well in the quality studies.
I think you'd be wise to maybe get a better quality pre-owned vehicle for the money rather than the brand new. Now, if you just love the little car, then get it, but just have lower expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Know that you'll be visiting the service department. Get an extended warranty for sure.
AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text, my 14 Silverado dropped $15,000 overnight. Yes.
Ooh.
No, that's what happens. He got the car new. When you get a new car, they lose between 25 and 30% of their value when you drive it off the lot. It's akin to taking a handful of hundreds and throwing them out the window. For real.
That's why you lease and
that
not
is
buy.
Why you lease. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You lease what appreciates, you buy what You buy what appreciates, you lease what depreciates, and nothing depreciates like a car.
So buy a house, lease a car.
Except maybe a television.
Yeah.
Used TVs aren't worth much.
Well, okay. You can buy a Toyota FJ Cruiser and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy a Toyota Land Cruiser or a Lexus LX 570.
Right.
And be fine. You could buy a Toyota 4Runner and be fine. Because now, they drop tremendously from new to used in that one day. But then after a couple, 3 years, that starts to level out a little bit because they, you know, you're going to lose a lot of value just from new to used. But then it's where does it level out? Okay. Is it going to drop 40% or is it going to really just drop 20%?
Gotcha.
So that's why Toyota's just solid.
AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text, I'm blown away by how many cars y'all know about. What do you think about the 87 K5 Blazer? I think it was made in 87. I was in the business then. I don't really recall that car one way or another. AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text, can you touch on the recent reports of Tesla's decline in quality? Yes. Tesla builds an amazing vehicle, but they have problems. And it's not really a decline in quality. Everyone was so jazzed about that car. It was just the greatest car ever. And then it had some time on the road. And people took it and tested it and kept it for a while. And it's got problems just like every other car has. It just does.
Okay. Well, everything will have a few problems. I think it's still probably a pretty awesome vehicle.
It is absolutely an awesome vehicle.
Now, I'm really curious to know what's going to happen when they build this cheaper entry-level electric car. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen, just like with the Cadillac Cimarron and the Catera and all these other entry-level that they try to do on these luxury cars. Do you think they can do it, David?
Well, here's the thing. That's why they built the Gigafactory, the big factory that's going to build those batteries, because they're going to try to get their battery cost per car way, way down, because the battery cost is so high right now.
Is that the majority of the cost of that car, would you say? I mean, I know if you did percentage-wise of parts, how much of that car do any of our Autoflex Leasing fan texters know what percentage of the cost of a $70,000, $80,000 Tesla is the battery?
You know, I think it's a great big percentage, honestly, but I don't know exactly how much. I know there's two things with batteries. They're expensive, and they weigh an awful lot, and they don't scale well. So if you build a little bit bigger car, you've got to have a lot bigger battery to make it do the same thing. So there are his challenges right there, is getting the scaling and the cost down. Autoflex Leasing fan text, David, please settle a lifelong debate in Texas. Chevy versus Ford. I'm a GM man, and I've driven both. GM Cadillac is superior to Ford Lincoln Mercury. Go ahead. I'm a GM guy. I was raised in a GM family. We drove GM cars when I was a kid. I am prejudiced. I can't really. I'm a GM guy because that's what I was raised driving.
What about you, Tammy?
I like both of them. I had a Ford. I like it. I know my Uncle Don is a big old Ford fan. I like them both.
Uncle Don, I'm sorry.
I really do. Actually, I probably like Ford trucks better than the cars, and I might like the GM cars better than the Ford cars.
Gotcha.
I think.
Autoflex Leasing fan text. I am on my third Xterra. It's a shame they quit making them. What do you think of that car? I like the Nissan Xterra a lot. They cycle cars. They when cars slow down in sales and become less profitable, they look to either upgrade the car or replace it with another car that maybe does better in fuel and that kind of thing. So that's why you see cars replaced.
We have so many Autoflex Leasing fan texters coming in, and we're going to get to them. Did you have one, Tammy?
Well, no, I was going to say, I looked it up, and they're talking about the Model S Tesla. They're expecting the battery to be less than a quarter of the cost, or about a quarter of the cost of the car. That's a lot, but I don't know what the percentage of
is. That would be the largest. That would be the largest percentage of anything that goes in that car at 25%.
We're going to go recharge our batteries, and we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Picker, JP, a.k.a. Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053, or you can Autoflex Leasing fan text us at 43733. And if you're wanting to go car shopping today, call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can see all our great pre-owned cars and maybe set up a test drive. You can click on test drive a car. Send us what you want to drive, a Ford, a Toyota, a Mazda, a Chevrolet, doesn't matter. We'll line them up side by side for you so you can come in and drive three or four different model cars. One of our leasing specialists yesterday had three different convertibles, different manufacturers, lined up side by side, waiting for a customer to come in and make their choice. Beautiful cars too. Cool stuff.
And today they'll have them pulled underneath the awning for you so you don't even get wet as you get in and out of the car.
Exactly.
We're getting so many Autoflex Leasing fan texts, and we're going to try to get to a lot of them. But first, there's a little bit of news in the world of Toyota.
Yeah, and everyone needs to take a look at this, because Toyota just declared that they would spend $1 billion for artificial intelligence in their cars and in robots that they plan on building for people to use in their homes.
Weird.
And this is, okay, so here's the whole deal. They're setting up two offices. One of them at MIT, the other one in Silicon Valley at Palo Alto. They have also committed $50 million over 5 years to set up a joint study with MIT and with Stanford University to develop this artificial intelligence. Now, you know, they committed to put an autonomous or semi-autonomous vehicle on the market by 2020. That's 5 years away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is how they're going to do it. Really, really interesting. The president of Toyota, Akio Toyota, had designed or had thought that semi-autonomous cars would be for everyone to drive around and they would take the worry out of driving and that kind of thing until they sponsored the Special Olympics in Tokyo. And some of the contestants came up and said, look, we don't want to just ride around in a car made for handicapped people. We want to drive and we want to have fun doing it. And so Toyota has changed their entire thought line, and now they're going to produce a car that you can actually enjoy driving and will enhance your ability to drive the car. So if you want to drive in a performance mode, the car will help you do it and make you a better driver.
Cool.
As well as taking all the worry out of stuff. So $1 billion is a lot, and it's being invested in the United States. I think you got to watch what the other manufacturers do, because right now, up until this point, we've seen Google jump in and try to gain part of this market. Apple has talked about what they're going to do. But this is a car manufacturer that is spending the money to do the research to build the next smart cars. It's going to be really interesting and exciting.
What's the in-home part? Like, everybody will have a Rosie the Robot?
Yeah, that's part of it.
That's awesome!
Yeah, they're going to... A big part of this is it's not just going to be the cars. It's going to be personal robots.
That's so cool.
Is that crazy?
Is that by 2020 also?
No.
I wish. All right, a little sad news for fans of Batman.
So this will probably be the last news you hear about George Barris. Unfortunately, George Barris has died at 89. George Barris was the car designer that built the Batmobile.
Mm.
The one that the lawsuit, we talked about 3 weeks ago on the air, where the lawsuit was the Batmobile is the Batmobile and no one else can build a Batmobile. Well, the designer, George Barris, died at 89 this last week. He built customized cars for TV shows, movies, celebrities, heads of state. He built custom buses for rock groups. George Barris was an amazing, amazing guy. Started off in the 40s building cars. Actually started off in the mid-40s with his brother refurbing old cars and then reselling them. He was actually also the guy that built the Munster coach for the Munsters, the TV show. He also built the Black Beauty, which was the car that Bruce Lee drove when he played the Green Hornet. His customers were Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, Burt Reynolds, Sylvester Stallone, all of these big name stars. Barris built custom cars for him. Wow. Anyway, he passed on this last week. The Batmobile, for anyone that doesn't know, was built from a 1955 Lincoln Futura, which was a car they built in the mid-50s to take around to car shows and show what the future could bring. It was not a production car. And he took that car and refurbed it and made it the Batmobile. The Batmobile sold at auction about 2 years ago for $4.2 million.
I thought it was interesting that his final request was to be buried in a Batmobile-shaped coffin.
Sybil.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
She's kidding.
She's kidding.
But we didn't know that. We just looked at her.
Okay. One more story for those that like 3D printers. Local Motors, who's the only company that's ever built a car with a 3D printer, has made another car. Now, the first car was sort of cool, and it was a neat-like car. This one is really cool. It's like a little beachmobile. Now, the only thing I don't understand is they call it the LM3D Swim. I think they'll shorten that to Swim. But about 75% of this car was actually built on a 3D printer, which is completely, completely amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But how safe can that be?
Well, I mean, when you look at the car, and if you want to see this car or read any of the stories or see some cool videos, go to Autoflex.com's Facebook page, and you'll see a picture of the car there and the story. But I think it's just, I don't know about the safety, but I think it's a huge move forward in the revolution of building things with 3D printers, because they can build this car out in a couple of weeks,
well,
all with a 3D printer.
It's very similar to a really modern, futuristic dune buggy looking car. So dune buggies aren't really safe either. So I don't.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't think safety is the issue here.
No, I think the issue is it's just really, really amazing that they've managed to build this car with a 3D printer.
So what part of the car is built? Like you said, 75% the body?
Yes.
Like what about the, okay, obviously you have to add the windshield
right.
and the engine and
right.
the wheels and tires.
Exactly.
What about those seats?
You have to add the seats.
Okay.
75% of the car is built with a 3D printer. So the headlight housings are. the window frames, the body of the car, all that neat stuff. But the suspension, the wheels, the tires, the engine all have to be not built with a 3D printer.
Cool looking.
3D printers are so freaky. I mean, you can make anything. People make handguns with them. You can do anything. Yeah. Like workable guns.
Yeah.
You could do a workable car, apparently. You can make a person. It's nuts. You can make a Batmobile-shaped coffin. Crazy how much you can do. I'm going to keep trying it until you guys laugh.
Let it die.
All right, let's end with this one. This is an Autoflex Leasing fan text. If money was no object, what car would you guys drive?
Bentley Continental GT.
Mm,
yeah.
Fancy. What about you, Tam Tam?
Probably the car I have, the Acura RDX.
You're so sensible.
Well, I'm just, here's the thing. If I had a super expensive car, I'd worry about it. I'd rather not worry.
Yeah.
So I'd stick with my same car. More money, more problems.
Yeah.
For me, anyway, that's what I look at. So I don't need a big Bentley.
I'm a big fan of a Jaguar. A Jaguar.
That's right. You love the Jag.
Mm-hmm.
We delivered a new Jag F-Type yesterday to one of our customers. It was parked under the awning. Mm. That car is beautiful.
Mm. I'm so jealous.
It's a great car to lease also.
Okay, I'd probably get the Lexus GS.
Pretty.
Because I like that car a lot.
Yeah. All good cars.
In the gray, with the light gray interior and the ash wood trim.
If you're on northbound Central down around Harwood, Blackburn, get off.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Something
northbound.
Stuck.
See northbound. You guys.
And exit too. All right, we'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Snuggles for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.